Well, it's a great joy to be with you here tonight at Castlereagh Fellowship. I just want to thank Jeff for the lovely invitation to come and to join with you this evening. It's just so wonderful to be with other believers who love the Lord, who want to sing praises to our God and our Saviour, Lord Jesus Christ. To be with people who love God's word, who cherish God's word, who believe in the all sufficiency of God's word, who are absolutely committed to the reliability and authority of Scripture, and the songs we've been singing, and just the heart that I sense it's here among you guys is just wonderful. So it's so good to be with you here tonight. I just want to bring greetings from Milltown Baptist Church just across the carriageway in Beaver Estate there on the way down to Shaw's Bridge. Now, I've been given a threefold that's my remit for tonight. So I have to give you a brief sketch about myself. 10 minutes, and then I have to talk a little bit about Milltown, 5 minutes, and then I've got 15 minutes to bring a short message from God's Word. So, okay, so as you can see, my name's Will Warren, for those who don't know me. Behind you can see that I'm married to Helen, and I've got two daughters, Beth and Rachel. Beth's 15, goes to Grosvenor, and Rachel is 13, and she goes to Victoria College. Helen graduated from Stranmillers College, and she's a primary school teacher, so she is, and she's up in Lisburn and Harmony Hill Primary School, where she's got a maternity leave, which is really good. So she's there until next January at the minute. So that's a wee bit about my family, but I want to talk to you a little bit about myself and my own story of how I became a Christian. I grew up in the Newton Breda area. I went to Newton Breda High School as a pupil. And I grew up really, my family are originally from Sandy Row, part of Belfast. And my family moved out to Newton Breda and I lived in a little housing estate. And as I grew up, really my identity was found in really being one of the boys in Breda Estate. I learned to play a flute when I was young. I was in the Newton Breda Crimson Star Flute Band. Support Linfield, support Rangers. And that was me going through high school. Always wanted to play football. And I left Newton Breda High School at 16. And I left without any GCSEs at all. I got a job as a trainee printer in a company which was called John Cleland and Son. It's up there facing Brackenville. It's now Wright's Accident and Repairs. So there was a printer's there. And I worked there for several years. When I was in fifth year, my mum became a Christian. And Newton Breda Baptist Church had a mission. And my mum was invited round to the church. And she gave her life to the Lord. At this time, my dad was a barman in Sandy Row Rangers Supporters Club. So as a teenager, 16 years of age, 15, 16, I was thinking, how's this all going to work out? My dad went to be with the Lord in 2015. We were very, very close friends. I was very blessed in that way. And a year later, my dad became a Christian. That had a big impact upon me. My dad never preached to me, never tried to force anything upon me. But I just watched God change his life. And it really impacted upon me. And just after my 19th birthday, my dad's sister, my aunt, died. I was very close to her. And I began to ask questions that I never asked before. I had no Christian friends as such. I had a job. I'd come out of my time as a printer. I had a wee car, lovely wee sports car, going on holidays and all the rest of it. But I began to become very unsettled within myself. I began to become very dissatisfied with life, even though externally I had lots of things. And little did I know, but my mum had a group of women in Newton Breda Baptist Church praying for me. And I can honestly say I would have been standing in the bar at night on a Saturday night, and I'd have been thinking, what am I doing here? What's all this about? Is this all there is to life? So that brought me to a point when I was 20, just before my 21st birthday, where I decided to become a Christian. really it was God's Spirit. The Spirit of God had a deep, brought deep conviction of sin upon my life. I knew I needed God's forgiveness. I knew that if I had died and stood before the judgment throne of God, that I was lost in my sin. And I became a Christian. I told my friends the night before when I was in the bar, that I sat down my pint and said, guys, I've something to tell you. I'm going to become a Christian. They all started laughing. Thought I was joking around. I said, I'm going to do it tomorrow. And I did. So that was back in 1991. So I'm giving away my age here, if any of you are following along here. Now, I've been a Christian 30 years. Back on the 25th of August last year, it was 30 years a Christian. I've experienced ups and downs. I've experienced times of dryness, times of real challenge in my life. I've also experienced times of real blessing and real sense of God's leading and guiding and wonderful times with the Lord. And the Lord's brought me on a journey. It hasn't always been easy. I would never ever want to give that impression. But the Lord's done a work in my life. And I just want to give you a real brief sketch here of what the Lord has done. Very soon after becoming a Christian, I became unsettled in my job as a printer. And I decided to leave printing. I wanted to learn about the Bible. I began to realize I didn't really understand, and I wanted to know God's word. And I went to Belfast Bible College from 93 to 96. And I also, at that time, went to Croatia for 3 summers. I made friends with a couple of lads from Croatia, Nathaniel and Cornell. And I spent 3 summers out there. And I'd done the diploma at Belfast Bible College, which was wonderful. I had a wonderful experience there with godly men teaching God's word, investing into my life. And that was wonderful. I left Belfast Bible College, and then I worked for Newton Breed of Baptist for a year as community outreach worker. Then I went to Donegal Town, worked as part of a church plant in Donegal Town. Then I came back to Belfast and worked for Cairns Hill Methodist for a couple of years. In between all this, I had got my diploma from Belfast Bible College. I'd done an A-level in RE, and I'd done my GCSE English and Maths, and I'd done reasonably well in all of that. I decided then, when I was with Cairns Hill Methodist Church, that the Lord was leading me to do the degree in theology at Queen's University. So I connected in with Belfast Bible College, and in 1999 I began the Bachelor of Theology degree at Queen's, and I graduated in 2002 with that, and that's where I met Helen. She came over from Glasgow to do a course at Belfast Bible College, and we met and we got married in 2002 as well, so we did. So after doing the degree in theology, I then done the PGCE course, and I ended up back at my old high school, Newton Breda High School, believe it or not, as head of RE. Right. And there were some of my old teachers were still there in the school. Teachers that I'd had run-ins with. And I mean run-ins, right? Okay. I was one of the lads in school. So I went back there. I had a wonderful time there. It's funny, I was chatting there to a lady at the door tonight, and we're talking about her grandson. I taught her grandson. He's 32 now. And he came into my classroom when he was like 12, 13. I had a wonderful time in Newton Breda High School, teaching the students. And when I was there, I decided that I would do a master's degree in theology at Queen's University. Glutton for punishment, am I? So I'd done that part-time when I was at Newton Breda High School. And in around 2008, 2009, the Lord started to unsettle myself and Helen. And we sensed God was starting to unsettle a nest. And I believe God was calling me into full-time Christian ministry. Now, I was full-time Christian ministry in the school. I was very involved in the youth ministry at Newton Breda Baptist Church at the time. And long story short, Helen and I ended up in Glasgow with a church called Woodhill Evangelical Church in Bishop Briggs in the north side of Glasgow. I went there as youth pastor, and then after a couple of years, they changed my role to be associate pastor. And I had a great 4 years in Glasgow working at Woodhill Evangelical Church. A great, great church. Go online, check them out. They're great people. We love that church. But it was around 2012, I was invited to speak at a funeral of a past pupil who had a congenital heart disorder, and he went to be with the Lord. And his dad asked me if I would speak at the funeral in Strandtown Baptist. And that was the connection with Milltown Baptist. Someone was there and invited me to speak at Milltown. And then the church at Milltown asked if I would prayerfully consider coming back to Belfast to be the pastor. So this leads us on to the next wee part here. So back in 2013, Helen, myself, Beth and Rachel came back to Belfast. And I took up the position of pastor at Milltown Baptist Church. We had to really grapple with it. When I came back after taking part in Jonathan's funeral, I said to Helen that I'd been invited to speak at the church, and I spoke at the church and came back to Scotland and told Helen. She says, Helen, the two elders in the church have asked if we would pray about coming and for me to pastor the church. Wood Hill has got about 300 people go to it. It's got a brand new building, got a cafe that runs 5 days a week, a great church. And we had to really wrestle with it, but we sensed the Lord was saying yes at every time on the journey. The Lord was saying he wanted us to come back to Belfast. And so it kind of took me the long way around to get me back to Milltown and to be with the sort of area where I grew up as well. So we've been there since 2013. This is our ninth year now at Milltown Baptist Church. And when we came to the church, really it's a story of death to life. Milltown Baptist Church was once a thriving Baptist church. I mean, some people are nodding their heads and can very much remember that. But because of really division, there was a number of two real splits in the church. And the church was really reduced down to bare rubble, really. And to the point where there was talk of the church closing the church. So when we come back, we knew that it was a rebuild, really. So there was a core group of people in the church who were very committed. And the church, the facility was sort of needed refurbished. It was just a ground zero, really. So we began that work when we come back, and it's been a real journey. We decided that we needed to build up the church that was there, and we needed to encourage the believers. We needed to strengthen what was there. So that was what we started off by doing during the first year we were at the church, first few years. And we're still doing that, obviously, continuing to do that, to build up the body that's there. Then we decided we need to reach out into the community here. We need to put ourselves on the map. And for 5 years in a row in the summer, we ran summer outreaches. We deliberately done that in the week running up to the 12th of July. There's a big bonfire, as you know, over at Milltown. And I wanted us to be out with the people at that time. So we done gardens, we done tidy ups, we done kids clubs. We ran family events and all the rest of it, all that we could do. And really, the community, we've got to know people in the community, and it's been wonderful. And I've been asked to take weddings of past pupils and asked to take lots of funerals continually. I'm taking a funeral this Thursday of a family in the estate, a lady we'd done her garden during our outreach, and this lady has died, and she's got two daughters and a son. They contacted me, and I've been with the family. And so there's lots of that kind of thing happening within the community. We also do infant dedications, and there's a couple of them happening, local people coming who have a child. And it's a big decision for us as a church. You know, there wouldn't be church goers, but they believe in God. They recognize that their child is created by God and is a gift from God. And it gives me an opportunity to go in and talk to them as a couple, and then they can invite their family and friends, and we give thanks to God for that child and pray for God's blessing upon that child, and building links in. So there's been a number of real encouragements. There's been a number of people of different ages now coming to the church, which is great. We have a great connection with Dream Scheme, and they work every Tuesday night with young people in the area, and I've been doing that now for several years. And we just recently started a kids ministry called Kids for Christ, and a local couple, Johnny and Kirsty, head that up with a number of leaders within the church. And we're getting good numbers of families bringing their kids over every Tuesday evening to the church, and that's been really encouraging. We done a refurbishment of the church as well back in 2017. Praise God, we were able to do that, and the Lord provided all the finances needed for that. we were able to take out the pews, and the carpet had been there for 40 years. We were able to do a youth room up the stairs, which is brilliant. So that's been really good, and the facility can be used now throughout the week for various activities that can happen. And that's been great, being able to invite local people into a facility that's more contemporary and stuff. So yeah, we also, in all of this, we're a small church. We're probably maybe smaller even, you know, than you guys. There would probably be about 50 people come out on a Sunday. So they're rude. So we've restructured our church. I've got two elders and one deacon. And we identified six key areas of ministry within the church. And there's a key ministry leader and a key ministry co-leader. And they're serving on the ground. And that's been brilliant. And I would spend quite a bit of time with those leaders. And we're trying to see the work of God, you know, develop and spread out, you know, and people using their gifts, using their talents, you know, to bless and to be a part of what the church is doing. So that's a sort of brief sketch. Hopefully when you're praying, that can lead you on. Jeff asked me for just a few prayer points. Just pray that the church would continue to grow. You know, pray for conversions. You know, I've got, you know, we ran a quiz night there with Beaver Football Club, their senior team. They're under 18s and under 16s, you know, with a pizza and quiz night. And, you know, quite a lot of the guys came, and their parents and stuff came, you know. And I've taken that many funerals, that many weddings, and great connections with people. But we're just praying for a breakthrough. Praying for conversions, praying for that conviction of sin that only the Holy Spirit can give, you know, and bring to people. So please pray for that. Pray the church will pray for laborers in the vineyard, you know, and I'm sure you guys pray for that too, as the Lord instructed us to. You know, we've got so much potential, but there's challenges. We've had to, because of two people in the church have fallen ill with illnesses, really, that are going to, you know, that can no longer function within the life of the church now. And we've had to park our mums and tots on a Friday morning. And that's been painful to have to do that. But we just don't have the leaders at the minute for that. So please pray that the Lord would send along people who would want to be a part of the church family and who would sense God's calling to the church at Milltown. So that's something for prayer. And pray that we would continue to be faithful to the gospel and faithful to the word of God in a culture where there's so much pressure on us as Christians, that we would remain faithful. And I'm going on sabbatical for 4 months, believe it or not, yeah. July, August, September and October. And it's the first break I've had from Christian ministry since 2009, when I relocated to Glasgow and then came back to Belfast. So the church have given me a 4-month sabbatical, and I pray that that would be a time of real refreshment for me, and that the Lord would just renew me and refresh me. And I'm going to go and visit different churches and listen to God and chat with other Christian leaders. And I'm kind of seeking God as well, Lord, you know, Lord, lead me into the next season of my life and in my ministry, Lord. So that's where we are. So we have plenty to pray about there, Jeff. So hopefully that's been helpful, okay? And I'll be around for a wee bit afterwards. If you want to talk to me or chat with me or anything, please do. So we'll have the next slide now. Okay, so this is the bit where I really want to get to. This is where Jeff said to me, you can share something from God's word. I love teaching and preaching from God's word. And, you know, I just want to share a thought really with you here, a passage of scripture. And if you've got your Bible and you want to turn to Matthew chapter 18, I'm just going to read just 4 verses. We don't have very long, but this is God's word. It's reliable. It's authoritative. We want God's word to be dwelling richly in our hearts. We want God's word to be leading and guiding us in our thoughts, in our attitudes, and the way we go about living our lives. So Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. This is God's word. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. One of the joys that I've had in recent times since coming back to Belfast is the opportunity to teach and to lecture. And I do some teaching at Belfast Bible College, and there's also a college in Portugal called the International Theological and Leadership College of Portugal, ITLC, where a guy who was the youth pastor at Newton Breda Baptist, Glenn Bowden, has started this, and I've been on the advisory council there, which has been great. And I lecture on Christian discipleship. That's what my master's degree was on. And they've also asked me to lecture on the Christian worldview and contemporary issues that we as Christians are facing as the cultural landscape is changing around us. And we're having to navigate our way through all of this. And that's been a real challenge and a real blessing. Well, back in January, I was going out to teach, and they booked my flight from Dublin Airport to Faro, 7 o'clock on Saturday morning. What sort of time is that, I say, to fly out of Dublin Airport at? So I had to check in, and there were all the whole Corona thing was happening. So they said, you need to be there 3 hours beforehand. What? So I had to book in the one of those Holiday Inns close to Dublin Airport. And there I am, got myself in. It's about 10 o'clock. I'm making sure everything's ready. I get my shower that on the Friday night. I've everything ready. And I'm sort of sitting on the bed, and I'm thinking about what lies ahead the next day and starting to pray about it. And all of a sudden, I realised I need to charge my phone. If this phone isn't charged, I'm going absolutely nowhere tomorrow. My alarm is on the phone, and it was set for 4:30. Then the tickets for the flight were on the phone. Then my vaccine passport was on the phone. Then the PCR test that I had to get done in Hollywood, it was on the phone. And my passenger locator form, it was on the phone. And I'm sitting in the room, I'm thinking to myself, I am going absolutely nowhere without this phone, and I made sure I charged it up. Even with all of the planning, even with all of my efforts, even with the best of intentions, there's no way was I boarding that flight without my phone. And there's no way was I going to accomplish the task in which it was all about doing, to go there and to teach God's word. Now, when we think about the Christian life, when we think about becoming a Christian, a follower of Christ, and we think about growing as a Christian, and when we think about fulfilling the task that the Lord has given us, the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all people, we must recognize and realize that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot do it on our own. And the passage that we have read, it's up behind us here. The disciples have been following the Lord Jesus. Just previous in Matthew's gospel, the Lord has said to them, who do people say that I am? And the disciples say, well, people are saying you're like one of the Old Testament prophets. You're maybe John the Baptist, come back from the dead. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter, we know, makes that great confession that we as confessional Christians always declare. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So this has happened. And then soon after that, Peter, James and John are with the Lord Jesus on the mountain. And the Lord Jesus' body is transformed into his glorious body on the Mount of Transfiguration. So the disciples are starting to get it. They're starting to get it in some ways, who this man is, why he has come. But they're arguing among themselves. And Jesus has already told them that he's going to go to Jerusalem and that he's going to lay down his life for our sins. He's going to die on the cross and he's going to rise again. And he's told them this, but they're not really getting it. And they're arguing over who's going to be the greatest. They're having this discussion, having this argument. And the other gospel writers pick this up. And it was more than just once this happened. It was something that was marking the way they were thinking. So I want you to notice here in this text, first of all, notice the question. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? There's the question. Now, we all applaud human achievement and accomplishment, don't we? And it's right to do that. Now, if you'd have been with me on Thursday night, at about 9:30, 10:00, okay, you would have seen a very nervous and then very excited Will Warren. I watched a game of football, and there was a team from Glasgow. We're playing a team from Germany, from Leipzig. And when the final whistle went, and when Lundstrom scored that goal, I was absolutely elated. And having lived in Glasgow and friends who are big followers, my phone was on fire on Thursday night. And of course, we're now thinking, who's going to be the greatest? Is it going to be Frankfurt or is it going to be Rangers? It's connected into your DNA, isn't it? And there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. And we do applaud achievement and accomplishment. And we do at times want to think, who is the best? Who is the best singer? Who is the best tennis player? Who's the best snooker player? Ronnie O'Sullivan just won the world championship just last week. So it's something that we connect with. And the disciples naturally are thinking, who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of God? Now, the Lord sees this as a teaching opportunity. And I want you to notice then, coming from this question, the Lord brings along an example, like an illustration. And he calls a little child, a little boy, and he has this little boy stand among them. It's a pretty strange thing to do. Here's this powerless little boy who's totally dependent upon his parents for everything that he needs in life. And the Lord knows what's going on in their minds and in their hearts, the disciples. And he brings this little boy along. And this morning at church, I knew I was speaking in this tonight, and there's a couple who come to our church, Nathan and Rachel, and they have a wee boy called Josiah, and he's just started walking, and he was walking around the place, and you just see, so powerless, you know, and you just see the love his mum and dad have for him, that, you know, he can do nothing to earn or achieve or accomplish something that would make his mum and dad love him. They just love him, and he's totally dependent upon them, isn't he, for everything that he needs in life. So the Lord brings this little boy along. And then the Lord moves into giving an instruction. Look at the instruction. And the Lord said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. See, the Lord recognizes their thinking. He recognizes what they value, and he knows what's going on in their hearts, and he's saying there needs to be a change in your thinking. There needs to be a change in the attitudes of your heart, and you need to become like little children. And if you don't change and become like little children, you will not even enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm sure the disciples were... This was so countercultural. Back in those days, children were dismissed and pushed to the side. And we know the disciples tried to do that on one occasion when children were coming to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus rebuked them and he told them, let the little children come. And he prayed over the little children. It's counterintuitive even for us. When you think of a little child, you think children just run about and they don't know what they're doing. So what is the Lord doing here? What's he doing? And then look, just lastly, at the application the Lord gives. He says, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. As the Lord says this and applies this instruction, what he is saying is, you need to realize and recognize your powerlessness. We sang that song. I love that song. You know, it's not me, but it's Christ in me. You need to recognize your powerlessness. You need to recognize that there's nothing you can do and achieve and accomplish that would give you a right standing before God. There's nothing you can do and accomplish that can make you greater in God's eyes. So we need to recognize that. And we need to recognize that God has provided everything that we need for salvation and for living a life of godliness that honors God in our lives. So as we think about these four verses where we see the question, the example, the instruction, and then the application, we recognize that this is not an optional extra. The Lord is saying something profound here, that we need to become like little children if we're going to enter the kingdom of God and if we're going to be great in God's view. But the thing is, it's a different economy with God. In applying this, we apply this first of all for salvation. We recognize our powerlessness. We recognize that there's nothing we can do as sinful human beings that will earn God's approval. We recognize that it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, that it's not of ourselves, it's not of works, it is a gift from God. That God has provided fully for us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If by human accomplishment, if by human achievement, we could have earned or merited God's favor, approval, and acceptance, then Jesus Christ would not have had to have died upon the cross. Our sin has separated us from God. There are people who claim to be Christians today who actually deny that truth, believe it or not. But the truth is that there's nothing we can do. But God has done everything for us in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is wonderful. This is incredible that you and I can become beloved children of God by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. And if you're here tonight and you haven't put your faith and trust in Christ, I want to ask you, what are you putting your faith and your hope in? Are you putting your hope in yourself? In your own moral goodness, as you think you're better than other people? No. No, you cannot earn God's love and acceptance. You must become like that little child. And that's how we enter into the kingdom of God. That's how a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl is saved. I would encourage you to put your faith in Christ. And I believe that the Lord was teaching these. These disciples were the apostles who would go with the message. And the Lord was preparing them and teaching them. And as we read in Acts of the Apostles, they went out with this message that people needed to be saved from their sins through faith in Christ alone. Now, the other aspect of this is, and we think, as I think about me, you know, not being able to board that flight, you know, and I was stuck on the ground. A lot of people, when it comes to salvation, are stuck on the ground trying to do it all themselves and work harder to make themselves right with God, hoping that somehow God will accept them because of their own righteousness, their own doing good, and they're stuck on the ground. But what can happen for us as Christians is that we can begin to move away from this call to live by faith, to live with this childlike faith. And when it comes to spiritual growth, I have learned in my own life as a Christian that sanctification takes place when I am surrendering my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, when I am allowing him to work in my life, and the transformation comes from the inside out. And there is a call for me to work with Christ and to walk in obedience to what the Word of God teaches. And when that happens, we grow in grace. We grow in Christ-like character. We begin to mature as Christians, and we begin to bear fruit for our Lord as we journey through this life, and we become stronger in him. We have to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, after telling them all the great things that they have in Christ, he prays for them. He says, "For this reason I'm kneeling before our Father in heaven, from whom his whole family derives its name." He says, "I'm praying for you that you will be strengthened in your inner being with power from the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of the Spirit, that you would be able to take hold of the love of Christ, and that the love of Christ would be filling your life, and that you would grow in grace and be a fruit-bearing follower of Christ." So as we read this passage, the Lord is saying to these guys, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, see this little child, who it's not about accomplishment and achievement and me trying to do more and more and more, trying to be the best and compare myself to other people. No, that's not the way. That's not the way into the kingdom. That's not the way into God's family, into the household of God. But also in terms of greatness in the kingdom, the economy of God is different. I will cheer on Rangers, and it's all a human effort that's there. But when it comes to God's kingdom, it involves us recognizing our great need of Christ, our great need of the Holy Spirit working in us and working through us. And we are to work with God in this and be obedient to what his word teaches. So maybe you're here tonight, and perhaps in your Christian life, you're finding things challenging. It might be that there's circumstances in your family that are difficult. Things that have come along that you did not see were coming along, and you find yourself in the middle of a storm. I want to encourage you to trust the Lord, that he is working out his good and pleasing purposes for you in your life, that he is forming Christ in you, that he has begun a good work in you, and he will carry it on to completion. That's what God's word tells us. And maybe in your own heart and life, and I know in my Christian life, as I look back and trace my journey, there were times whenever it was all about me. It was all about what I was doing, and it was all about what I was accomplishing. It was all about people thinking that I was this and I was that. But on the inside, I was dry and I was empty. I was hurting and I was lonely. And I needed to be brought to that place where I was gracefully broken, recognizing that I needed God to be working in my life and working through my life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're feeling tired spiritually, and you need that renewing work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to just say, Lord, you've called me to yourself. Lord, you've called me into a living relationship with yourself, and that's distant in my life. And I want to be in that place where I'm walking closely with you, where I'm receiving your love and your grace, where I'm becoming more like Christ in my life. Lord, help me afresh to have that childlike faith and that childlike trust in you, in your provision, in your goodness, in your protection in these days.